Welcome to Doctrine and Doxology, a podcast series designed to help our Christian beliefs lead to Christian worship. As we engage with listener-submitted questions, we hope you will grow in the knowledge of the Christian faith and, in turn, will worship and glorify God. Thanks for joining us as we go from understanding to worship. Hello and welcome to a new recording of Doctrine and Doxology. We are glad that you are joining us right now.
We are humbled by your presence.
Humbled.
Because if you're listening to us, thank you.
You're probably pretty bored.
Well, you're maybe old friends or hopefully we're consistent and stick to God's word when we try to answer a question.
True. What did the drummer name his children?
Tom and Snare.
That's what I said. That's creepy.
Isn't it?
Yep. And a one and a two.
And a one and a two, huh?
Yep. What did the guitarist name his children?
G. I don't know.
Bob and Stacy.
Oh. He doesn't go with the other joke very well. Okay.
Well, now that you are enlivened with
humor.
That kind of
puts the mood on the, you know, livens us up, brightens
our
eyes.
You use the word humble. I use the word humor.
For what?
I don't know. That's just the word of the day.
Oh, okay.
You started with the word humble. I start with the word humor.
Okay. Let's see if we can get some help to the person that asked this question.
No kidding. So I like this question a lot.
Yes, it's very long.
Yeah, you think it could be broken down into myriads upon myriads of points.
Well, maybe not myriads, but I think we could discuss it for at least a couple of days.
Well, we're not going to do that.
Let's just see if we can muddle on through. Can we read half, and then when I get tired, you take over?
Oh, maybe, yeah. My phone was just going off. I was just looking at it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're checking messages while we're on the air?
I'm not on air.
Oh, okay.
I'm in a chair. But I do have the question.
Okay.
In my hand.
So do I. Look at there. You want to read it? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know, tradition says I should read the question.
And we're traditionalists. I just didn't want to... I didn't want you to throw it to me halfway and then me pick up
and have it. Okay, I'll start off, and I think I can finish if I don't run out of air.
I hope.
Okay, as a Christian that has not been blessed with a spouse yet, I find it difficult to navigate church life as it is so heavily family-focused and family-populated. This has become more apparent now that I am looking for a new home church since I recently moved. Is there any advice you could give single Christians about living a faithful Christian/church life when feeling alienated from the church because of relationship status? Bada bing, bada boom.
Technically, that's a yes or no question.
Yeah, I could give you some advice.
Yep. Next.
Done. Don't know what it is?
You answered that one. Good job.
I thought we ought to start at the top, though. I think there's several categories in this question that I would like to address. One of the reasons is...
I'm just going to sit back and let you go today, then.
Well, no, I don't want you to abandon me, because if I feel like I'm abandoned, I'll choke up.
Abandon?
Yes, abandon.
That was a band name.
Okay. Blessed. I am blessed.
Did you make up a word there?
Blessed.
You just ball back.
Blessed, yes. Blessed.
Blessed.
Robin and I discussed this word. And it means thankful.
Okay.
So when you go to the Beatitudes.
Sometimes.
The Beatitudes, it means thankful.
Psalm 1, it could mean happy.
Okay.
Or satisfied.
Okay. And thankful.
Probably.
It's like, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That thankful fits right in there. Thankful.
So does happy or satisfied.
Yeah, that's true. What's the point?
That
Well, I guess
there's debate on how to interpret that word sometimes.
I guess when I have a friend that
what?
I have a friend.
Tell the truth.
That has been sickly for a long time. And it bothers this person if someone says, I'm blessed because of I have good health. Because this person thinks, am I not blessed?
This friend is my friend also.
That's true. And our friend that wrote in says she has not been blessed yet.
Whoa. Maybe he.
Did I say she? This friend that wrote in said, I have not been blessed yet with a spouse.
Yeah. So I see where you're going. Go. Run with it.
I just think that our true blessing comes from God's love and his salvation. And some of these other things are gifts, and we are to be thankful for them. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I'm happened to have been, if you want to use the word blessed, but I'm thankful that God has let me have a spouse. But it's a gift. That's what I call a spouse or any of these other things.
Yeah, you're saying
singleness can be a gift.
Right.
And I think Paul uses it that way.
You're not blessed if you're not married.
Correct.
You're still blessed.
Yes. That's kind of where I was going with that. It was supposed to be a pretty short little segment of what I had to say.
But it's a good thought. I think it's a good thing to address there. And probably would tell this questioner, this listener, the same thing we tell single people in our church all the time because
right.
we have college.
We have several.
College-age people and older who go through these things from season to season. Anyways, that marriage isn't the end-all be-all.
True that.
And so sometimes we get stuck in this cycle of thinking that I'm not there yet if I'm not married.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not true.
No, it's not.
And so you said singleness was a gift. Are you going to read from chapter 7 there of the first letter to the Corinthians?
I can.
Well, because that's what Paul calls it.
Well, it's pretty much scattered throughout all of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians.
Okay, can you grab like one verse or something?
Yes. He who refrains from marriage will do even better. Ta-da!
In what?
In serving God.
Right.
Because the one that's married, of course, according to the text, has to worry not only about serving God, but taking care of their spouse.
Correct. So there's a uniqueness to singleness that even the Apostle Paul says is a blessing, a gift from God, because you're able to serve the Lord in a kind of a greater way, with greater
sure.
commitment, with less distractions.
Well, Paul would probably have had a tougher time had he had a spouse and a family to take care of.
Correct.
So, there you go.
I would also remind our single brothers and sisters that you're in just really good company, and I know that you've probably heard this and thought about this, and, you know, yeah, it sounds good in words, but how does it really impact me practically? But really, if you meditate on the fact that our Lord was single.
Yes, he was.
For a variety of reasons. But still, nonetheless, that puts you in really good company.
Yeah.
And his earthly ministry as a man was no less diminished. I mean, his service to God
sure.
was impeccable. And so breaking through some of these stereotypes, I don't know if stereotypes is the right word, but some of the cultural thinking that we're not as important or we don't contribute as much to society because we're not married, that is a tough thing to break through.
Sure, sure.
But it can be done and it needs to be done.
Another thing I thought of was that we as a church need to watch ourselves that we don't try to gear everything toward the family that's married.
Right, that's the heart of this question, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've actually gone through this as a church And me personally, as a pastor, it's something that I have, I've wrestled with, that I have realized has been a problem in my thinking before, and it's something I'm conscious of as I prepare my sermons.
Okay.
I don't always want to draw. In fact, I would say by God's grace, I think about it probably every time that I'm, trying to draw connections or applications from a text, that I don't always refer to family life.
Right.
Or refer to your spouse, refer to your kids. I do. I still do that because there's a good number of people in our church that would apply to, but I don't only do that, and I do that very purposefully.
Right. It does concern me some that this person feels alienated when they're going to churches to try to find where they belong. Maybe because that church does focus on family and couples. And
I think that's a common thing among probably the vast majority of churches. There's just an overemphasis. And even saying that is a little tricky, a little challenging. Maybe it's better to say, and it's semantics, but better to say a lack of emphasis on singlehood, that churches do tend to gravitate towards the family.
Right. We do need to, as a church, I think, open our arms to every individual.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going out to dinner and you want to invite somebody, invite some of your single friends, some of your single brothers and sisters in Christ that are, you know, going to church with you.
Yeah.
Don't just invite other couples.
Right.
Yeah, I had another great thought. Oh, the advice she's looking for. Or he is looking for, thank you. It reminded me of a family reunion, where if you have all the family gathered in one location, you have brothers and sisters and their children, and a lot of the brothers and sisters may not be married, but it doesn't keep them out of that family gathering because they're playing with their nieces and their nephews, and they're interacting with their parents. They're interacting with their brothers and sisters. So they're just as much a part of that family gathering as anyone else,
yeah,
even the married ones.
Yeah.
So I would say if she's looking for, or he is looking for a church, I would say don't necessarily look for a church that has a lot of singles in it, so you might run into that significant other.
Right.
But find a church that feels like it's family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can get along with the children, you can get along with the senior adults, and God will open a pathway if God has a pathway for you.
Yeah, that's that's one of the points I wanted to make, that the church becomes the family.
Right.
And you fit into that family. I grieve the point in there in that question also, that they said they felt alienated.
Right.
That's heartbreaking.
Sure.
And I know that people in our church have felt that way before, and you don't want that. And so helping them to see that this is your family, you're in this one big family, and you belong. In fact, I would even take them to not just 1 Corinthians 7, although that's very specific and applicable, but 1 Corinthians 12. You are a part of the body and an integral part of the body, so much so that if you are removed from the body is hindered. Right.
Right.
We're many members, but we all make up this one body. And that includes parents, that includes believing children, that includes singles, that includes couples who can't have kids.
Widows.
And so changing your perspective, I think, is key to answering this question.
Right.
Changing your perspective, seeing yourself as belonging to this family, as an integral part of the body. That's good to talk about and good in theory, but really hard to practically believe or practice. And so changing your perspective on those things is very important. I have a few other things that I thought I would tell a person like this if they just, you know, wrote in and asked this question. Number one, I would say cultivate a very deep prayer life. And every time these struggles, difficulties, heartaches come up, spend significant time, slow down and stop and spend significant time in prayer. The Lord will be more than enough of a companion to you.
Yes, absolutely.
The second thing I would say is tell your pastor. Your pastor wants to know this, and your pastor will probably be not shocked, but surprised, and they can better help.
And they may be blind to some ideas or things they've been doing.
Right. And so I would definitely tell your pastor that, hey, this is one area I struggle in. This is one thing that I need help in, one thing I just want you to be mindful of in my life. As you shepherd me, as you pastor me, I just want you to be aware that this is one of the areas I need shepherding in. And then, this is really hard if you're still looking for a home church, but as you start building relationships, don't be ashamed of this struggle. Don't be ashamed to admit to your brothers and sisters that this is an issue, and you might have to tell them, I'm not saying this so that you'll set me up with your friend or anything. I'm just telling you that I want to be a part of the body. I want to be a part of the people of God.
I don't want to be alienated from all your activities.
Yeah, I feel isolated. And then I would also add, just because you're single, going back to a little bit of what I said earlier, doesn't mean you don't contribute. Even in areas like children's ministry or youth ministry or family ministry or whatever your church does, you can really pour into families in a great way, even if you're single. So yeah, you may not know by experience the ins and outs of marriage, but that doesn't mean you can't encourage your married brothers and sisters.
Sure.
And remind them of the principles of marriage, that it's about the gospel. Encourage them as individuals and remind them that, hey, yeah, you're one flesh now, but you also individually need to walk with the Lord. You can encourage brothers and sisters with children. You could babysit for them. You could spend time with their kids, with them and their kids, because oftentimes kids, especially as they grow up, they have mom and dad's influence, but they also need other godly influence besides mom and dad.
Sure.
To see that this isn't just a mom and dad faith or a mom and dad thing. It's also true for others. And so there's just a myriad of ways that single individuals can serve and contribute to the kingdom of God. And God has designed it that way, even so much so that, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, even there are pastors who are single. And I've known some, and I do know some,
right,
who are single. And if their singleness prevented them from being involved or speaking into the marriage of a couple or the parenting of a couple, then they couldn't be pastors at all.
Sure.
But it doesn't prevent that.
It doesn't. That's by God's design. Scripture tells them how to respond in those situations.
Right.
One thing I was thinking of as you were
don't say
rolling along.
Okay.
I'm trying to find a nice word. I think married couples need to be very considerate of these things too. We may be blinded to the needs of the single person.
And
this person evidently does feel alienated at times.
Yeah.
So I think we need to be aware of that and made aware of that. Maybe, you know, you could preach it a little bit, you know.
Well, I think as those single individuals open up and share that with their brothers and sisters, they'll respond appropriately.
Sure. Hope so.
I mean, I'm not saying that I believe people are inherently good, because I don't, but I do believe the people of God have goodness in them.
Sure.
Because God dwells in them.
And sometimes we're just ignorant.
That's exactly right. And we're not vindictive or facetious or bitter. We're ignorant. And sure. So.
And God wouldn't have us ignorant, brother.
That's right. That's right. And I would tell a single person, like, man, just take full advantage of this. Be the person who's at every church function.
Sure.
Like every small group that you can be a part of, every ministry that you can serve in, every service that's going on. Just
center your life around the church, and you won't regret it.
Right.
I mean, a good, healthy church. Now, I'm not saying burn yourself out. I'm actually just saying do the opposite of how you feel right now. You feel alienated. You feel isolated.
Right.
You feel like you don't belong. That only means you should press in even harder. And the Lord will honor that. This is the bride of Christ, and it's where you belong, even if you have these feelings. You just need to voice these feelings and let the bride of Christ minister to you as you minister to them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe this question is a value issue, like a identity value. You think they feel less valuable because they're not married?
Single? Well, I'd hope not.
I know.
Because I know that they're not, so I would hope not.
I wholeheartedly agree with their assessment that most of the time the church can feel family heavy.
Right.
Or children heavy, or married heavy. Not that more members are married than single members. It's just that so much more is pointed and geared towards them than otherwise.
I think there's an element of difficulty for single people to get together and have friendships.
Yeah.
Where it's not as difficult for a married couple to get together with another married couple and have friendships, or even with singles and have friendships. It's just they're kind of, well, if I go have lunch with someone, people are going to think, oh, we're an item now.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just want a friendship.
Right. I would definitely caution single people from just surrounding themselves with other single people in the church. I just don't think that's healthy. I think that becomes an echo chamber oftentimes of perpetual complaining about your circumstances.
Yeah.
I think the body's to interact with each other, and so if you can be a single person and involve yourself with couples, that's healthy for
sure.
You. I would say percentage-wise, we're probably abnormal to most churches in the fact that we have a high percentage of single people compared
right.
to our overall membership or attendance. And then you and I both personally have single people in our family, immediate family
right.
that's dear to us. I get the struggle.
They like companionship too.
Yeah.
Friendships, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's hard, you know, after a certain point in life, let's say after college, it's really hard to make friends because you're going to work 9 to 5 or 8 to 5, and then you're at home. And
yeah, maybe your work friends want to go to different places than you would want to go as a Christian.
Yeah, you can't spend your evenings in places where other single people are typically.
So you almost have to make plans and do things on purpose.
Yeah, and so
invite several people over for cards, or
even having families over to your house as a single person. You know, sometimes it's not always ideal, but sometimes when there's a problem and that problem's perpetuated on us, we're the ones who have to take the initiative to correct it.
Okay.
And you wish that wasn't the case, right? You wish the church would just recognize the impact of being single when you want to be married and how hard that is, and that they would take the initiative to rectify it. But really, if you're single and feeling these things like this question asks, it's probably got to be you that takes the initiative to see it corrected. That means inviting people to your house, making contacts even with couples, going over to their home, inviting them to do things, taking that first step.
Your needs.
That you want to be involved.
Yeah, I want to be involved, and yeah. I want to see people and
I don't want to
interact
just,
with people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I feel this question. That's why I thought it was really good. I feel it. I've heard it before. We deal with it in our church. We deal with it in our families. I get it.
Right.
It can be hard. When you want to be married and you're not, and you're a Christian in a marriage, family-centric church, it's hard.
Right. Yeah, I had a friend who went on a mission trip with me, and she was sharing that all of her friends now have gotten married.
Yep.
And once they get married, they kind of separate themselves from the group because they're now a couple. And as all of them have got married, it kind of left her all by herself.
Yep.
And she really didn't have anybody to hang out with. She didn't want to impose on the other newlywed couple.
Yep.
Kind of felt like a third wheel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely a problem.
Well, and even in that, remember, when we say involve yourself with other couples, that doesn't have to be people your own age.
Right.
Like, there are people in the church, married couple who's probably been married 40, 45 years, their kids are long gone
right.
from the home, who would love for you to come over and spend time with them.
Right.
Hang out on their back porch or eat dinner with them or them to your house. That's just as healthy as anything, maybe even more healthy.
Right.
Because those individuals will know exactly how, by experience and wisdom, to shepherd you and care for you. And so, again, it just comes back to sometimes we have to take the initiative, and that means going out with some boldness and courage and a little bit of faith and say, hey, I'd really like to get to know you guys.
Yeah.
I struggle with singleness, and you guys have been married for a long time, and you're faithful to the church, and sure would like to have you to the house, or I'd like to go out and grab a burger and just visit with you and start developing those relationships.
Let you mentor me a little bit?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Lots of practical things here in this question, lots of theological things we could talk about. I think, again, I'll come back to it. It's the hard work of changing your worldview, changing your perspective, how you see yourself, how you see the church, how you see the solution to the problem. All of that needs to change. You almost got to rewire your eyes, your spiritual eyes here, to address this one. And again, spend tons of time in prayer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've determined that I'm going to open my eyes more to the needs of the single people in our church.
Yeah.
Just to make sure no one's feeling abandoned or left alone.
Yeah, and maybe this question doesn't apply to you. Maybe you are married or in a relationship or just don't care to get married or whatever it may be. I think I would say to you, like, yeah, reach out to your single brothers and sisters, but don't do so to try to set them up with somebody.
Yeah.
Don't do so like they're thinking they're different, like there's something wrong with them. Like, they probably get a lot of pressure from their family already. Why aren't you married?
Chances are.
Why don't you have kids?
Yeah.
On and on and on and on.
When you're going to make me a great grandparent.
Yeah, they don't need that stuff.
When you do something great.
They don't need that from Christian couples. And so just being mindful of a brother or a sister who's alone every night.
Yeah.
Maybe even, depending on context, alone on the holidays. Like, you can really minister to them,
yeah.
And they will really minister
yeah.
to you. Well, I enjoyed this question. I'm glad it was submitted. I have been informed.
Uh-oh.
By the keeper of the questions.
By the keeper of the questions?
That there are two questions left.
And one of them's a
doozy.
Funny one. Next week.
There are two questions left in the bank. And so we would appreciate your questions being submitted to us. Or I have a plan of what we could do next, but it probably won't be as good.
Oh, no. Let's, somebody, please, send in those questions.
Absolutely.
And another thing the keeper of the questions mentioned, and I don't know if you picked it up, I think it was on the Facebook friends or whatever that's called.
No.
That no one has signed up for the giveaway.
So yeah, that's changed.
Chances are.
That's changed.
Well, good.
I think there's a winner.
Somebody, all they had to do was sign up, and they're, ding, you're it. You
right.
win.
Congratulations. I think there already is a winner.
Oh, okay.
I think it's been decided.
Well, you see how behind the times I am.
But I don't know if it's been revealed. I don't know. You have to ask the keeper the questions.
Okay.
But back to the questions, we would like you to submit them via Facebook, Instagram, or email.
Sure.
Or, I don't know, pigeon, letter carrier, smoke signals, Morse code.
Well, if you're going to send smoke signals, you better wake us up that they're coming.
Yeah, don't do it in Oklahoma.
The wind will blow it away.
Yeah. Right. Burn the rest of the town down.
Yeah.
There's wildfires, grass. Anyways, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Doctrine and Doxology Podcast. You can email us at doctrineanddoxology@gmail.com. You can go to trinityweatherford.net to the Resources tab and look down till you see Doctrine and Doxology Podcast. And once you're there, you can click on that. It will take you to every episode that we've ever done. I don't know if that's good or bad. But it also provides a few links to find us at these other places. And at these other places, we often offer giveaways and interaction and whatnot.
Whatnot?
Whatnot.
Hey, I got something new.
Me too.
Instead of me praying us out of here, why don't you pray us out of here?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa. You do pray.
You just threw this whole thing off.
No, we're both available. A lot of times you dominate the conversation. And so just to throw me a bone, you let me pray us out of here.
Wow.
So why don't you pray
us? You said that in front of all these listeners.
Throw me a bone?
No, that I dominate the conversation.
Oh, well, sometimes you get carried away, as a pastor should.
Hmm. Well, I'm not going to air out all your dirty laundry.
Thank you. I appreciate
that.
Yes, they do. Especially the socks.
I'm wondering, I'll pray, but before I do, I'm wondering if we would have any interest in podcast t-shirts.
I don't know.
I have a few ideas formulating in my brain.
So if someone submitted a question, you could zip them a t-shirt.
No, probably not.
Okay.
That's not what I'm thinking.
Okay.
But I am thinking other things. I'm thinking.
Keep it going, brother.
But I don't want to involve
myself. You're looking
mystical
and crazy over there with your arms.
I don't want to involve myself with all these things if nobody wants a t-shirt. I guess what we need is for them to say,
hey, how about a t-shirt?
Yeah. That'd be good.
Put your face on the front and my face on the back and a little Madison right up on the shoulder.
Put your cartoon face from Instagram. Yeah. Your Gollum look.
Yeah. That's my natural look.
You haven't gotten over that, have you?
No. Well, it's because, like I said, I think previously, I did look in the mirror and I could tell that it was kind of like that.
Well, on that note, let's pray.
Okay.
Father, we praise you and thank you that you allow us to have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. That at the cross, our Lord took our sins, removed them, paid the price, removed our guilt, was buried and then resurrected to give us life and a hope and a future with you. All of that was done by your initiative. We brought nothing to the table. You acted purely out of grace and goodness and mercy and love. And so we have great faith when we pray and petition you for other things, when we intercede for others, because you are that good and gracious, merciful, loving God. Today, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are single. We pray that today you would build them up, grant them a special measure of grace, encourage and strengthen their faith, provide deep companionship between you and them. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are married and have kids and ask that you would put it in upon their hearts, put it in their minds to minister and care for and be aware of our brothers and sisters who are single and struggling with that singleness. And we pray for the submitter of this question, that as they look for a new church home, you would remove all isolation and alienation Remind them that they are an integral part of your body. They belong there. They have a purpose there. And that it's good for them to involve themselves in the church. We pray all these things so that your name may be exalted, your kingdom advanced, that our lives may align with your will and purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.